At Arizona State University, we've made online education better, smarter, and more personalized so you can go further in your aspiring field.
I decided to pursue medicine once I realized that ASU did have the online program for biological sciences. You're still required to learn the same curriculum. You're still being tested on the same content that anyone would be tested on in person. The comprehensiveness of the program prepared me so well for medical school.
Explore over 350 plus programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, continuing with the author Svetlana Lokova. The book, The Spy Who Changed History, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union Stole America's Top Secrets. Well, they did it in plain sight. The man, Stanislav Shumovsky, is a hero. However, at the same time, he has a supervisor who's also a hero. Born in Armenia in 1898, his name is Gaik Avakmian. And he is a revolutionary early on and arrested by the Armenian Tsarist regime and jailed until he's liberated by the Soviet army, the 11th Red Army, and he becomes a chemist studying in Moscow until one day he's called to the Lubyanka by Artuzov, the only member of the NKVD who had any scientific training at all. Here comes Avakmian, the Armenian, the wily Armenian, who's trained in chemistry. And what's his task? He's given to go to America in 1933 with his wife and daughter and study chemistry, but actually to supervise Shumovsky and all the other agents. Svetlana, a very good evening to you. We continue with the amazing, wily Armenian. Is he Armenian? You raise the possibility that he's not, but he's born in near Tsarist Erevan, and he arrived in America as a student and a scholar. And you tell me he publishes scientific documents. Why? What was chemistry in 1933 when he arrived? Thank you.
First of all, the wily Armenian, the possibility he might not be Armenian at all, actually comes from FBI records, because FBI way after, you know, the horses have bolted, way after, you know, Russians took all the secrets, they started investigating this group of Soviet students, and they came across Avakmian, and they couldn't figure out, is he Armenian or is he something else? And that's why they called him the wily Armenian. But going back into 1930s, First World War was a war which was heavily dominated by chemical warfare. And the casualties that Soviet Union that Russia experienced, that many people remembered, were absolutely horrific, because they didn't even have gas masks. They didn't have any protection. They were not prepared to it at all. So the next war everyone expected, we're talking, you know, in the early mid 1930s, was going to be a chemical war. So Soviet Union had to obtain all the information about chemical warfare, both in offensive and defensive. So everything from gas masks to the planes that would spray the gas and everything in between. So that's why one of the members of the original group that went with Shumovsky was an expert in chemical warfare. And that's why also Gaik Avakmian, who Soviet Union sent to America in 1933, was an expert in chemical warfare.
Avakmian's job was to supervise Shumovsky along with others. But I want to stay with his reputation as a master spy. Is he celebrated in Russia, in Moscow? Is he acknowledged in America as a man who supervised the stealing of all the major secrets, not just aviation now? They steal everything.
First of all, with regards to Russia, he's in the Hall of Fame for the SVR, which is the Foreign Intelligence. He's also celebrated in Armenia, which is now, you know, used to be part of Soviet Union, of course, now is an independent state. Americans, they talk about him. But I don't think they understand the extent to which Avakamian and Shumovsky and others, the extent to which they took all the best American technology and transported it to Soviet Union.
Let's go through what they stole. The bomb site, Shumovsky found the bomb site from the ability of the MIT work on aircraft engines. And you said you found a paper by Robert Goddard. What kind of paper?
So Stanislav Shumovsky operated a number of agents, and one of the reports that he sent to his supervisor, Avakamian, or codename Gennady, was a paper by Robert Gordon, who was a pioneer of modern rockery. And the paper was entitled The Results of the Work to Create a Liquid-Fueled Rocket Engine. And he sent that, that information got sent to Moscow Center.
Again, the Wily Armenian, did he invent legal and illegal agents? Was that his idea to have it? The illegals are a very famous category now, but did they exist back then?
They existed before, but he he scaled it up. In fact, so just to explain to people, there are two types of covers you can have as a overseas resident or a spy. So the legal cover is the cover where you work, for example, for an embassy or something, or the trade representative. And that means that you have some sort of protection, where you can't necessarily be, well, you can be theoretically arrested, but you have a lot more protection because you are operating, you know, as part of your country. You have a lot of protection, legal protection. Illegals, on the other hand, they, go there undercover. And, you know, as we can see in this case, this was undercover as a student or as a scientist, or it could be as a journalist. It could be any other cover. And that means you do not get any legal protection. So this is what we'll end up, we'll talk about later. To have into Avakamian, because he was there as an illegal, so he was not working within Soviet embassy or trade representative. And that meant, and what Avakamian was doing is he was taking the work that Shumovsky put together by trial and error. Shumovsky was the first person who was just part of this group of student spies who established the network of using being a student as a cover and then recruiting other students who will then go on to become engineers or other important people within the scientific community. And then with the arrival of Avakamian, that scaled up. So rather than Shumovsky, you know, running things by himself, that now became a system of networks of agents and sub-agents and illegals operating under false identities.
Avakamian, did he invent the courier system or did that exist before?
Again, everything, you know, everything initially was being, in the early days of Soviet espionage, was being done by trial and error. What he did is he institutionalized it. He scaled it. He applied rules to that. You know, I think one of the things we mentioned previously is that the Soviet state was very young when they started this operation. So the Soviet revolutionaries like Stalin, like Dzerzhinsky, like, of course, Avakamian themselves, they were used to operate underground. So that gave them an idea what it's like to hide from the secret police. But they were not trained operatives. That comes a lot later, you know, the KGB or the GRU that we know about now, that comes later. So from the early 30s, they were operating by trial and error, and then they would use their successes in order to create the system, which was Avakamian's role.
The part I like is when they borrowed from Dostoevsky's The Devils. This is where everybody doesn't know anybody else. Is that how it works? You only know the people in your cell.
That's right. That's right. And that goes back to all these people, they were undercover themselves. So you have to be very careful about, so if somebody gets caught, that way you would not be able to betray other people. And a lot of Soviet intelligence failures, when they did happen, would happen because somebody, you know, maybe didn't follow the correct procedure. And that was the importance of a command of trying to put the procedure together.
Yes. Two of the couriers were, I learned from Svetlana, or Harry Gold and Elizabeth Bentley. That's the stealing of the atomic bomb we're talking about. and breaking that code didn't happen until after the war. Now, Avak Mian, by the end of 33, is running four major agents, Beam, Talent, Idealist, and Singer. He was also running Shumovsky, correct?
Correct. And sorry, just come back quickly to the codes. So the Soviets were supposed to use one-time codes, so they were supposed to be destroyed each time the new code was supposed to be created. And that was, again, part of the security procedures. But during the war, they were running out of the materials. Unfortunately, they were reusing the code for the purposes of the trade. One of the covers was Amtorg, which was a trading representation in America. And they were reusing the same codes. And that's how Americans much, much later on discovered the Soviet codes, but that's later. But going back to the people that Shumovsky supervised, indeed, so that the command supervised, indeed, was Shumovsky and others. And then all of these people would run their own networks of sub-agents, all with code names.
Was he running also the talent spotters and recruiters? Were they recruiting Americans or just running Soviet agents? How did it work? Because he's keeping...
So he would mainly run the Soviet agents who would recruit Americans, but he would also recruit Americans himself. So the way it would work is both Shumovsky and Avikamyan and the others, they integrated themselves into the U.S. scientific community. So they would attend dinners, seminars, just meet privately. And for that purpose, Avikamyan published a number of academic articles. So he had serious academic credentials. He was not pretending to be a scientist. He actually was one. And that's how he was able to hang around with the scientists. But his main role was to supervise other Soviets, and then those Soviets, such as Shumovsky, such as Semyonov, they would recruit people within their community from university onto research institutes, and then they would report to Avikamyan, who would then report to the Moscow Center.
I'm speaking with Svetlana Lakova. The book is The Spy Who Changed History, the untold story of how the Soviet Union stole America's top secrets. This is the 1930s. The war is ahead of us. However, in the 1930s, following 34, 35, the arrests begin. Why? When we come back, the trials and the executions of the spies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.